Okay, so if you will take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119, that's where we are. Psalm 119, verse 105 is the section we're going to be looking at, getting everything in place. So I've been using this for our Bible, for our communion services. This is the section that is marked by the letter Nun, the N sound in the Hebrew alphabet. Every verse in this section starts with that letter in Hebrew. The previous section ends with, I hate every false way. But this section begins with the Word as God's light to the psalmist's path. The path of life has many difficulties. We think we have everything figured out, and a new difficulty presents itself. You know, it's a never-ending list. If you own a house, there's always going to be something that needs doing, which we've discovered this week as we've had various issues in our house. And you think, oh, we're no bills for the big bills for a while, and all of a sudden we're looking at perhaps some big ones coming up. That's the way life is. This is true for everyone, believer and unbeliever alike. But the redeemed have a resource in the Lord to provide guidance in trouble. And that is God's Word. As our psalmist says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So that opens this section. Before we begin, I want to read a quote from one of the commentaries. Alexander McLaren comments on the fact that God's Word is pictured both as a lamp and a light. A lamp is for night. Light shines in the day, he says. The Word is both to the psalmist. So that's good. So a proposition for our message. Let's see. I guess I'll get there. Let's read the passage first. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and I will confirm it, that I will keep your righteous ordinances. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. O, accept the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the end. So that's our passage. Here's the proposition. The Word of God is the enlightening treasure of the redeemed. The Word of God is the enlightening treasure of the redeemed. So the first thing we're going to talk about are the troubles of life. He uses different words to describe this. In verse 107, he talks about exceeding affliction. This verb is used, according to one of the commentaries, of what one does to his enemy, exceedingly afflicts him. But he says, I am exceedingly afflicted. Another commentary says he has been beaten down by his adversity and he needs the Lord to revive his life. And so exceeding affliction is one description. Another one are the snares from the wicked. Verse 110, the wicked have laid a snare for me. Right, so a trap. A lot of lexicons on this one refer to a bird trap or a bird net in which someone lays a snare that will entangle the victim. So you imagine that word picture. You think about the things of life that, as I was saying earlier, you think that you've got everything figured out, and all of a sudden you're entangled in difficulty. That's what this snare represents. And then verse 109 says, my life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. So here, my life is continually in my hand. There's a risk that he's taking. One of the commentaries on this one says these verses combine risks necessarily undertaken in the course of life with risks encountered by the hostility of others. So he talks about the snare of the wicked, but also the fact that he takes his life in his hand. And we all do this every day. We put ourselves in risks. You get into your car, you get onto the highway, there is always a risk. There's a risk from the other drivers. There's a risk from the road conditions. There's a risk from your own driving. So which is true, right? So there's a risk, but that's not the only thing. There's many, many paths of life, things that we have to do. And there is the potential for trouble in every one of them. So there is, in the picture of the psalm here, these words that he talks about these things, exceeding affliction. So the kind of, where someone is, has caused you all kinds of trouble. We have experienced these things. Or even the snares and the difficulties along the way, our own things that we have to risk in order to function in this world. So the troubles of life are something that is a normal experience of life that the psalmist is addressing here. All right, so the second thing is the light of the word. And we saw that quote at the beginning, that the word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. A lamp is for the night, a light is for the daytime. But the scriptures show the path. They show the way. The scriptures give us the information we need to determine God's will. So as we look towards our life and towards the direction that we are going, the Lord gives us insight about how we should live. And we advocate getting this from the Word of God. There are a lot of things that might appeal to us, but we need to let the light of the Word shine on those paths and help us to make wise decisions. The scriptures give light for each step. This word for a lamp describes a small clay lamp with a single wick. And I've heard sermons on, I don't know if it was on this verse or on a verse like it in the Psalms, where they have talked about the idea is that a little lamp like this, you might take it out in the dark, you're going out of your house for some reason, you take this little lamp with you and it shows enough light so that you can make the next step safely. You know, you're very familiar with the things in your house, and if nobody has left something out of place, you can traverse the distance from your bed to the bathroom, for example, in the middle of the night, and usually have no difficulties. But a little lamp lightens the way. We have put into our house in the hallways night lights, so that we can see obstacles. I found these ones at Home Depot one time. They are actually double as emergency flashlights. So if the power goes out, you pull those out of the wall, and it's got a battery in there that's recharged all the time when it's throughout the week, and you can use it as a flashlight in the midst of a power outage. Well, we need a little lamp enough to show the way to get to where we're going when we're not in a advantageous situation. So the Word of God is like that. Does the Word of God show us the whole path? Not necessarily. You know, we start out in life, we have a little insight, we make some decisions, we start following God. He shows us enough for the next step. And so we go on our way serving the Lord. So the Word of God is the enlightening treasure of the redeemed. And so then the last point, the testimony of the faithful. Now, I got to thinking about this. One of the commentaries said verses 109 and 110 also express determination. Look at the second part of those statements. My life is continually in my hand. That talks about the risks. Yet I do not forget your law. He's determined. His mind is going to be focused on that. Number 110, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. So there's a determination. The commentary says, we must not expect to drift by accident into devotion to the Word. So we are to make the Word of God our definite determination. As I was thinking about this, I thought about a man in the scriptures who we could illustrate for a man who has made the Word the lamp to his feet and the light to his path, and that is the prophet Daniel. So I'm going to turn over to the book of Daniel, and I want chapter 6. This is a very familiar chapter. Every Sunday school child knows it. This is the one that leads up. This is the lion's den chapter. All right. So let's read I'm going to read the first five verses. Before I get there, I want to go back to chapter 1, where you have that famous statement about Daniel, where it says that he made a determination in the early days of his youth. And he said, find the verse. Okay. Verse 8, Daniel had made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. Right, so he had purposed in his heart, as it says in the King James. He made up his mind. So he's a man who's made up his mind to follow God. So let's look at chapter 6, the first five verses. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, and they would be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, that the Lord, that the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself amongst the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, "We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God." So we have Daniel's good reputation. He was a man who had made a commitment in his life to follow the Lord, to give his heart to the Lord, even as a young man. All these years later, he served under the King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. He served under Belshazzar, who was next. Finally, then comes Cyrus, and then somewhere in here comes Darius. So it's many, many years serving in the kingdom, first of Babylon and then of the Medes and Persians. It's a very good reputation. And in fact, he has such a good reputation that basically the king is saying, "I'm going to make him the prime minister. I'm going to set him above all the other commissioners." So that's that commitment to the Lord that built that good reputation. And yet his enemies, they are jealous of him and do not want him to have an advantage. They seek for a way to accuse him, and they can find none. So they lay a trap for him. Beginning in verse 6 through 9. Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. "King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document, that is, the injunction. So they lay a trap for Daniel. And obviously this is something that is, this is the snare that the psalm talks about. The wicked have laid a snare for me. Now, Darius, of course, he's not a believer. He's a pagan man. And these leaders come with all their flattery and they say, "Well, you know, all of us have agreed. We want to honor you. And we think that you should make a decree that no one ask any petition of any god except through you. You are the great king. You're almost like a god," is what they're flattering him with. And so he goes ahead with this plan. And Daniel, then what does he do? Verse 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before God, as he had been doing previously." So the trap was set, but Daniel continued to walk according to God's law. "Yet I do not forget your law. Yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. The word of God is the enlightening treasure of the redeemed." Now you know the rest of the story of Daniel, how God delivered him in that circumstance. My point is just to show Daniel as an illustration of someone who has made this the commitment of his life. The word of God is the enlightening treasure of the redeemed. Now we're not Daniel, but God does give us light for our path, since we are redeemed by the same Lord. And so let us walk in that light. That's what Jesus has done for us, giving us the light of salvation so that we can then in turn walk in the light of his word. That is our goal for life. Okay, so let's close with a word of prayer and then we'll have the communion service. Our Father, we thank you for the grace of God as we have experienced it from you and through your word. We thank you for the benefits you give us through your word. As we think about these words and the fact that your word is a light to our hearts, to our path and a guide to our ways, Lord, we pray that we would live by it and that it would be the beacon by which we order ourselves. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.